Cares, but
good morning.
We're
going to open the Human Services, Health, and Education Committee meeting for December 2nd. Hilda, would you lead us in the pledge?
Absolutely.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Could we have approval of the minutes of the November 4th meeting?
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Dr. Chapman, good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Just a reminder, we need to ask you to clean the desk when you leave.
Sure.
Thank you.
Before I get into
the... Get your microphone on. Just
push that button.
There you go. You're good.
Great. Before I get into my contract list, I just want to take a moment to introduce my deputy, Lynn Lewis. I know she was here last month, but just wanted to tell you a little bit about Lynn. She's worked for the county for 20-plus years now. She's worked in a lot of different capacities through the years. She's been a counselor with kids and families. She's a social worker by trade. Last 7-8 years, Lynn has run our child and families mental health program. And although she's going to continue to run that program, we were able to delegate some of her duties to free up some time for her to assist me. So just wanted to let you know a little bit about Lynn. So in the rare time that I'm not able to be here, she will be. So thank you, Lynn, for that.
I mean, it's during deer season, right?
Yeah.
It's a rare time.
Exactly.
Lynn, can you just take off your mask for a second so we can see who you are?
Don't do that.
Welcome.
So thank you. Moving on to contracts. Hopefully everybody had a chance or at least has the list of contracts in front of them. Similar to past years, to direct your attention up to the top of the page, these are contracts that we have with local agencies to provide services such as housing, peer support and advocacy, substance abuse prevention in the schools, also programs with persons with developmental disabilities. So as you can see, those three columns at the top, funding comes through the state. It passes through. Our agency is the local government unit, the LGU. Then we pass it on to the provider agencies. The third column shows what our county contribution is. And it's important to just note to all of you that there's no increases at all on our county's end in terms of our county share. It's all consistent from this current year to going into next. Lower half of the page, these are service contracts that we have with local agencies and individual providers to assist us with what I'd refer to as our day-to-day operations. 99% of these contracts that are listed, the people listed in agencies, are renewals from last year. One exception to that, we have a new contract that we added to the list that's about midway down. It's with Robert Burns. It's a new contract for $36,000. Robert's a licensed social worker who recently retired from the county, and rather than replace his vacant position, we want a contract with Mr. Burns for 2 days a week to do intakes as part of our open access intakes that we have, so people on any day of the week can show up the office and we can see them to get them started on the counseling. One other change with the contract, significant change is, and this is a positive change, is with Dr. Verclearin's contract. Reason I say it's positive is we're in the process of providing MAT, it's medication-assisted treatment for opiate dependence right on site. So for several years now, we've treated people that have difficulties with opiates, but We've referred them to local physicians in the area for the medication end of things. So now we'll be able to offer that rate in-house as well. So in an effort to get that program up and running, Dr. Verclearen agreed to increase her time from 4 hours to 12 hours a week. And as such, her contract amount will be increased from $33,000, which it's been this year, to $95,000, a compensator for her time. So all these contract amounts were included in the 2021 budget. So I'm looking to get your permission to enter into contracts as they're stated on the sheet.
Second.
How many hours a week for $95,000 a year?
12. Approximately 12.
Jesus, I went in the wrong line of work.
We all did. It'd be $150 an hour.
The question I had is regarding the state aid on some of these contracts. Are these going to be subject potentially to the 20% decrease? And what are we doing about that? Are we only passing through the actual funds that we get?
Yes. Yeah. Thanks for asking that, Kelly. You're exactly right. Right now, we left those state dollar amounts whole, but we anticipate that there probably will be a 20% reduction. And when that happens, we'll just only pass through the money that we have. We'll be able to reduce it each quarter.
But does that mean 20% reduction in services?
In some cases, it certainly will have an impact on cases. So in most instances, we will see a decrease in services. A lot of it goes back, my understanding in meeting with all these different agencies is, this funding, of course, helps support personnel costs. So unfortunately, someone that may be full-time would have to be put back to part-time or laid off for a portion of the year. So then there would be less services, unfortunately.
Kelly?
I'm sorry, I just have one more question in regard to that, and it might be more of a question for Jen. How can the governor legally withhold money that is contracted out and belongs to the county that we should pass through? I mean, in our profession, when I have money that belongs to somebody else, I have a fiduciary responsibility to take care of it wisely and pass it along. And why does that not apply to the governor?
So I'm hearing the echo. I can answer that. If it is federal, the argument that we have is when federal money is encumbered by the state and not passed on for certain purposes, or where the state legislature, specifically earmarks for certain programs. But the problem is, in the last budget, the New York State Legislature gave the governor and the Division of Budget authorization to
join the meeting
based on what is actually happening with revenue since they passed the budget during the recession. So he and the New York State Division of Budget have nearly unilateral authority to reduce payments based on what was granted to them by the state legislature. The state legislature, if the governor proposes cuts right now, they're just withholding payment. But if they propose cuts, I believe the state legislature has 10 days to come back to act and propose alternative cuts. And if they don't, then the governor's cuts take place.
Well, thank you for that answer, even though we don't like it.
Do we have
Yeah. No one does, that's for sure.
I understand.
Can you give us a quick update on Casa Trinity? I mean, how are they getting along? Are they in a different facility or?
Yeah, sure. Casa Trinity, they've fully moved, so to speak. So they're into the new site in Hornell. My understanding is they're keeping very busy. I mean, with the pandemic, not unlike many other providers, there's been a decrease with some of the services in terms of people's willingness to come in for services. But I know on the inpatient end, they've continued to steadily get people referred. They're treating people, from my perspective, they're doing a great job. As you can see, we're contributing consistent with what we did this past year, the $40,000 just to help offset, you know, some of their operation costs. They're very grateful for that. When myself and staff had met with them, they had highlighted that they very much were appreciative and needed that extra boost, especially during this pandemic, to help help meet the operating expenses. But overall, I think I'm safe to say they're doing well.
Where did they end up moving?
They are in on Seneca Road North. They're right next to the new hospital that's been built there. Yes.
Are they continuing to get grants from the state as well?
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're in the process of writing proposals for grant funding. They're no longer getting funding like they did this past year from the state in terms of startup costs that they had. So that has stopped, but they're actively looking at money that is available through the state and writing proposals. Actually, as we speak, I've got a conference call with Ann Domingo's executive director here at 11 this morning. We're working on submitting a proposal that the state is putting out some grant funding to help regions. So it'd be like our Finger Lakes region, Western New York region, as part of the opioid crisis. It just continues. So we're looking at what we could do from a treatment perspective, prevention perspective, housing supportive perspective as a region to help enhance those services.
Any other questions? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
I read somewhere that instead of spraying it on the table, you should spray it on the cloth and then do the table, because it's going to take the finish eventually off the table.
Well, the missus is appreciative seeing him actually clean something.
Well, yeah. Wait a minute. We only have one bottle? What happened to all those bottles that Chris brought?
So what happened is that you have to be careful what you use on the
Yeah. Yeah.
I sprayed the rag. The other container. You're quite trained, yes, I followed directions.
But Chris brought us about four bottles of that stuff last week or 2 weeks ago. Well, I haven't seen bottles. Chris, did you take them back?
No, JJ.
Son of a gun. We're going to have to hide them.
So you have to designate one person as a sprayer.
Yeah, no.
Spritzer.
Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today I have our 2021 contracts for approval, and you should have received the comparison of what happened in 2020 versus what will happen in 2021. We tried to give you explanations in the notes column to explain why the fluctuations happen, but it's probably not too helpful because of the extra COVID funding. It just changed everything. And we tried to be conservative in using what we needed in 2020 and reserving some of the COVID money for 2021. I'll call your attention to the fact that we also, at the same time, we're trying to clean up contracts because we had so many that were doing similar things. So if you look down at the IHS BIP contract, that was eliminated. The BIP funding went away, but the work continues. So that contracted employee was moved to another contract. So we're trying to have employment contracts all together. The same thing with Project CARE. We still do Project CARE in the greater Bath area, and that person who runs that program got moved to another employment contract. So it looks like a wild fluctuation, but it's really a function of cleaning things up and accommodating for the extra funding that we got in 20 and 2021. I'll also point out Doyle Securities was our personal emergency response system provider. And this year we did the RFP. And so that is going to Life Station, which is a new company out of New Jersey, not a new company, but a new company to us. Their rate is so much lower. We lowered the amount of the contract, although in 2020 we had given the PERS program some extra COVID funding, thinking that what was happening in our communities would drive an increase in demand of that service. Does anybody have any questions about the notes that we provided?
Oh, they're helpful.
The last thing is our RDA, and I mentioned this before, but NYSOFA regulations requires an increase in hours for our registered dietitian. The requirement is 16 hours a week, and we were providing 9.62 hours and felt that we were doing it effectively. But NYSOFA wants us to get closer to the 16-hour a week requirement, so that is going up to 13 hours a week.
Any questions? Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
Kathy, good morning.
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 So I am here for the first time since I've been commissioner to request a budget adjustment for this year for our safety net program to transfer funds. It's the first time I've ever had to do this. So Brenda handed out my budget transfer form that I didn't get to you guys before the meeting. And so I'm asking to transfer $355,000 from our Medicaid account to our safety net program. And then we'll appropriate an additional $145,000 of state aid.
This is just because of increased demand?
Yeah.
Will this get us through the end of the year?
I'm sorry?
Will it get us through the end of the year?
It will. It will, yeah, it should.
What did we do in the next year's budget?
We increased it about $500,000.
Okay.
Went from 4.1 this year to 4.6 next year.
And Scott, we also have a little flex. I think we talked about it during the budget. We also, like Kathy's doing in the transfer today or proposing in the transfer today, we have a little flex in Medicaid to hedge against this and other potential state cuts.
Second.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. And then the second item is our 2021 contracts that were distributed ahead of time. Does anybody have any questions on those?
Motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And my third item, I no longer need. Thank you.
You're going to use the Winnebago?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, how is that going?
Oh, well, I knew you were going to say that. It's going very well. Thank you. We've moved it back out to the it should be at the hospital now for safekeeping during the winter months. And they let
it take it on the road for the winter.
We will if the weather permits. Yes. But we're keep it up at IRA. They have where the MRI trailer goes in and on Fridays only. So we get to keep it there outside of the Friday. So it keeps it covered for the winter. And
do you have to do reports back to the state for all of the, you know, what you've done and to prove that it was worthwhile?
Yes. This year has been a little challenging with our reporting because of COVID and other ways we've utilized the unit. But we also, remember, established our stationary unit out at Ira Davenport Hospital. So our numbers are certainly justifying the need. So
I think using it for other stuff was actually, you know, a good idea.
Creative. Yeah. We did some creative things for that, that we had to.
And this was a 3-year deal from the state, right?
Yeah, we have 3 years secured funding for the entire project,
right,
with the anticipated continued funding, because our numbers are certainly showing the need for that. And they're very supportive. A lot of the money comes from the Office of Victim Services, which is a lot of their money comes from fines and fees from criminal prosecutions. So they reinvest it into treatment and prevention activities. So
what are you going to do if they legalize marijuana?
What am I going to do?
Yeah, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? That?
No, I don't know.
All that funding will go away.
No, these are fees from sex crimes.
Oh, okay. Good answer.
Your vehicle lease. I'm sorry. Did you?
I did not need to go forward with that, okay. Carol. Thank you. So, thank you. Thanks.
Would you clean your desk, please? Thank you. Oh, Darlene, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks. I just have two contract requests for preschool related services and evaluations, two new contracts, one with Finger Lakes Therapy Works and one with Rocky Mountain Speech Works. As always, the same rates that we pay everyone else.
Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And then you also should have before you the contracts for 2021. They are all, there aren't any new contracts that I'm seeking over last year.
Are these the 20% reduction or is it the full 100%?
That's a good question, Carol. I cannot answer that without double checking with Chris Congdon. I apologize.
No problem. Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Darlene.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Darlene. Can we get an update on COVID from Darlene, or do you want to wait?
I can give you an update if you'd like that now.
Yes.
Sure. Go ahead.
If you follow our press releases, you know that the numbers are not good in Steuben County. We continue to report dozens of positive cases per day, and unfortunately, usually, two or three deaths associated with that. So, we're right now working on an initiative to hopefully stand up a community testing site through our inventory of rapid tests that we have on hand. We are in negotiation right now and discussions with CCC to pursue that, utilizing some of their nursing students, because public health doesn't have the staff to be able to do that, because, I mean, as you know, all of my nurses work 7 days a week on case investigations, and New York State Department of Health has not been able to assign any staff to me for this purpose. But I'm concerned that with the holiday travel, we're already seeing some ramifications of that. Just as an example, I was notified yesterday afternoon of a particular school district let me know that one of his staff allowed his daughter from Ohio to come for Thanksgiving. And now already we have 8 contacts that need to be quarantined in that family as a result of the daughter from Ohio coming. So that's just an example of we're already seeing the ramifications of the holiday travel. Ideally, we're shooting to get this community testing site stood up next week, because the timing of that would be ideal in relation to the Thanksgiving travel. But I'm hoping that we can kind of extend the testing site through the month of December, if possible. Again, we're in the discussion phase right now, but I definitely should have more concrete info on that by either the end of this week or very first of next week. So, you know, we're just, we're plugging away. Still, you know, staff are working very hard and together on this. So I think that any specific questions you know that I didn't cover that you'd like to know?
Darlene, I do have a question. Are you involved in the distribution of the vaccine at all, or is it all coming from the state?
Yes, we will be heavily involved in the distribution of the COVID vaccine. As you know, FDA is going to be meeting on the 10th for potential approval for the emergency use authorization of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. If that goes through, I'm hearing nothing for sure, but I'm hearing we could have the earliest delivery on December 12th. Still remains to be seen which ones we will receive directly in terms of the temperature control that's going to need to be involved to keep that vaccine viable. We're making the preparations now for either case scenario, whether it's we're going to need to utilize dry ice or just normal freezer temperature or just refrigerator temperature. So the guys out at OEM are working very hard on this for us right now. Once we get it, then we will be responsible to get it distributed to those who are listed in the priority one of the distribution, which right now looks most likely that's going to be frontline healthcare workers as well as nursing home residents.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have one other question.
Yes.
This is Fred Potter. How are you set up for the rapid test supplies? Do we have enough of them on hand to get us through the end of the year?
Yeah. Yes, I do think so. We certainly have more of the Binax cards than we do the Abbott ID Now kits. The Abbott ID Now kits require the machine that goes with it, whereas the Binax cards it's simply just a card about the size of a large credit card. We do have significantly more Binax cards than the ID Now kits, and that's not just us, that's across the state. But nevertheless, between both of those, I do anticipate, even if we have a can stand up testing for a good part of December, I anticipate that we would have enough. And when we're able to get new supplies of Binax much easier as we use them than the ID Now. So we're in pretty good shape right now. That's, you know, another reason I'm working very hard to try to get this community testing stood up. It would be free to anyone. And they would have to pre-register, but no specifics as far as, you know, essential workers or someone with symptoms or things like that. It would just be wide open for the community. I just think that's our best chance, best bet of finding those positive, especially the asymptomatic positives that don't even know they have it. And again, those that have traveled, I think it's so important we try to hit those. Because the problem is some travelers are trying to comply with upon return to New York State, quarantine for 3 days, get a test on the fourth day. They're trying to comply with that, but are having trouble accessing testing. We did put Abbott ID Now machine at Guthrie Centerway for the sole purpose of increasing community testing. And so that is now underway. We had a few little glitches in the beginning, but it's underway and folks can access that. But that's just, you know, that's just one machine in one place. So by a community-wide testing, we're just going to be able to have a much broader reach across the county.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Darlene, the one that's at Guthrie, is that you have to have a reservation or appointment ahead of time?
Yes, Hilda, you're supposed to call 973-8000 and you make an appointment. And then I'm hearing, for the most part, they are able to offer same-day appointments. So that's the good news. But yes, you do need to pre-register with them.
And Hilda, we're going to publicize that a little bit more. Like Darlene mentioned, we were working through some kinks with Guthrie on that. So we didn't want to get the word out there before we knew the process was working well. And as of the beginning of this week, it looks like they have it in good shape. So very likely today we'll update those numbers and get that information out. But we do, I mean, public health gets a tremendous amount of calls for people looking for this, and we do refer people there.
So it's in Centerway?
Yep.
Yeah. Centerway?
Darlene, just one other question. I don't know if you can answer it or not, but on the news I saw where they're preparing to deliver vaccine overseas, and I was a little surprised at that, given the fact that we're just starting distribution here.
I saw that as well, Carol. I don't know the plans for how much will be. I at one point in time, I did read that the 40 million doses would be shipped to or earmarked for the United States, and that would cover initially the healthcare workers and the long-term care residents. But remember, that would be split in half because it's going to be a two-dose vaccine. So 40 million doses essentially will cover 20 million people. I have read that should initially cover the healthcare workers and the long-term care residents. So hopefully that is accurate.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Darlene?
Darlene, on the healthcare workers, this is Mike Canna. Is it voluntary on their part to have the shot? Or do they have to have the shot?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. Under the FDA's emergency use authorization, it cannot be mandated at the federal level. Now, whether hospitals and nursing homes end up getting more restrictive than that and mandating it for their employees, I think that that remains to be seen. But at the federal level, it can't be mandated because it's falling under the emergency use authorization.
Thank you.
Sure.
At the hospital, you work at the Hospital of Corning, you have to have a flu shot or else you don't work there.
Any other questions for Darlene? Oh, Aaron, I'm sorry.
That's all right. This person who came in from Ohio to her parents' house, did she have COVID? Was that why the quarantine happened?
That's correct. After she left the Thanksgiving holiday with them, she went back to Ohio. I assume had symptoms and got tested, and her results came back yesterday that she was positive. And so that left all of her family here in Steuben County that she gathered with as direct contacts. And, one of them is a school employee. And so that person is out of the, work rotation. So it has its domino effects. And, I can only project, I hope I'm wrong, but probably some of those eight contacts here in Steuben County may very well end up positive. And so it's just that it's the domino effect, and it just makes it so hard. That's what makes it so hard to contain.
It doesn't matter whether the person came from Ohio or Alfred.
Yep, that's true.
Any other questions for Darlene? All right, thank you, Darlene.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jack and Chris, do you have anything?
Nope.
Okay, we have other business. Kelly Fitzpatrick is proposing that we do a memorialization for the New York State Legislature to establish a temporary commission to study and investigate the effects of the COVID pandemic and related to the nursing home deaths. Kelly, do you want to speak to that at all? I mean, everyone has a copy of it.
I personally think that the reason that this is important is that not only do we have to put procedures in place to help combat this pandemic, but then we also have to review these procedures and determine whether mistakes were made so that we can prevent making these same mistakes in the future. And I think that based on the reports that we've seen from our own public health department, a lot of the deaths that we're reporting and a lot of the cases we're reporting are a direct result of some of the nursing home cases. And so I believe it's necessary for us to review what was happened and to not necessarily point fingers of blame, but to improve the procedures and things that are put in place to protect the public.
Any questions of Kelly?
So I do have a question. So there is something already going on, right? The state already has a committee to be looking at that, right?
I don't know. I just think that we should be on board with it.
Sure, the Attorney General has already got a committee working on it.
Yeah, do you know about that?
Yeah, I am aware, like Hilda mentioned, that the Attorney General is looking. I know that there were some temporary committees set up in each house, but this resolution that is mentioned forms more of a formal kind of ad hoc committee of the legislature that's bipartisan, of the state legislature that is bipartisan for a review.
I'll move this. I don't think it's a bad idea to show that we're on board with that investigation.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I vote for it. This will go to the full legislature, so we'll pass that along to them. All right.
Thank
Any
you.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.